Hello and welcome to this bonus episode of Inside Europe with me, Kate Laycock in Germany. We're calling this episode Focus on France because, well, that's exactly what we're doing. But with 27 countries participating in European elections this week, why single out France for special attention? Part of the answer to that question is simply that our trusty team of France-based reporters named Lisa Bryant and Lisa Louis, just happened to pitch us two complementary stories, one on the French right and one on the French left, that we thought would make interesting listening if we ran them together. The other part of the answer is that there is a lot at stake in these elections, and the French vote in particular could set the tone in Europe for years to come. To find out more, I spoke to Nabila Ramdani, French journalist and author of the book Fixing France, How to Repair a Broken Republic.
The European Parliament elections are not as important as domestic elections by any means, but clearly they are an attempt at European-wide democracy, and any attempt at democracy can only be viewed as a good thing. And this time around, there's a strong feeling that the far-right populism is very much on the march. And this vote will actually help test that claim. And the elections are technically crucial in France because they are a measure of the national mood at a time when many think that President Emmanuel Macron is ignoring parliamentary government and he's ruling in a manner which is decidedly undemocratic. And so populism is undoubtedly on the rise, as we saw with the widespread rioting across the country last summer. And people are still furious that Macron raised the retirement age from 62 to 64 without a parliamentary vote, for example. And so the far right and indeed the far left are stirring up the anger. And this is likely to be reflected in the European Parliament vote. But as usual, you can expect that angry French people will see EU elections as a chance to let off steam, as a chance to display their anger in a protest vote without affecting domestic politics. But in this sense, the far-right parties have always been glorified pressure groups, if you like, rather than serious parties of government. The difference now is that Marine Le Pen views herself as a potential president in 2027, and she thinks that the European elections will display how popular she is in terms of electoral share. And in fact, it worries me how the media typically covers the far right and that Marine Le Pen is often presented as respectable and mainstream in the French and indeed the foreign media.
Right. Now, this is a really important point, and I want to come to this because Le Pen has been making headlines in Germany recently because she has booted the German far-right AfD party out of her ID bloc within which the, so that's a European bloc within which the Rassemblement National plays a leading role. Now, this has contributed within Germany and also at a European level to the perception, as you say, that she has indeed taken her party away from its neo-fascist roots. You're saying this really isn't the case?
No, I don't think that is the case at all. Only last weekend, a man who was a candidate for the party as recently as 2017 was arrested for making a Nazi salute and shouting Heil Hitler at a public meeting in Brittany. The region of France, where the Le Pens come from and where Jean-Marie Le Pen, Marie Le Pen's father, built up his support. So, yes, Marine Le Pen changed the party's name in 2018, but the idea that thousands of racists and indeed Nazi sympathizers all mysteriously vanished from the party is preposterous. In fact, the fascist legacy of her party is never brought up in the media. It's almost as if this can all be brushed under the carpet and forgotten about because she's offering radical solutions to vexed issues such as immigration. And the truth is that beyond Marine Le Pen, there are a lot of very sinister people in the Rassemblement National, ones with plenty in common with her father, Jean-Marie Le Pen. He's now a convicted racist and Holocaust denier, and yet he remains extremely popular amongst the party's rank and file. They don't seem to have a problem with the party's racist roots, or indeed its early association with Nazism.
But at the same time, she's very much presenting herself as a cat-loving maternal figure, sort of Mother France type of figure when you look at the sort of the messaging. I'd love to talk to you, Nabila, about femininity and the far right, because we're at this extraordinary moment where we have Marine Le Pen in France and we have Giorgia Meloni in Italy. Two of the leading figures in the European far right are women.
Well, I think, you know, the national rally relies a lot on the figure of Joan of Arc, for example. Joan of Arc is someone who is idealized by the far right and especially by the Rassemblement National. So perhaps that helps answer the question. But the trouble is that Jeanne d'Arc, as she's known in France, ultimately represents the very male values of martial combat and the glories of war, rather than more caring feminine values. And I've certainly not detected any particular feminine messaging by the far right. In fact, the party is very much based on macho values. It's a tough and nasty party. And beyond Marine Le Pen, who is the daughter of the founder of the party, Jean-Marie Le Pen, we have his niece, Marion Maréchal, who's moved even further to the extreme in the Reconquest Party. And I the party, in fact, reminds me of a Margaret Thatcher administration in Britain. Everybody was saying it was a great victory for feminism to have a female leader and ultimately a female prime minister. But actually, it was the opposite. Thatcher was an incredibly macho figure who surrounded herself with men in her cabinet. And there's no indication that the RN, the Rassemblement National, is a feminist party whatsoever in the same way.
Let's talk now about someone outside the Le Pen family clan. The RN's lead candidate is 28-year-old Jordan Bardella. He is a politician who is so popular that Politico recently ran an article about him asking, is Jordan Bardella the new face of Europe? I mean, is he, Nabila? And, what does his popularity tell us about the generational but also the demographic shifts in far-right support?
Well, I think, if anything, Jordan Bardella comes across as a classic old-school right-winger. He's a tall young man with a short back and sides who looks as though he's just joined the army. He's blunt-speaking and extremely insensitive in his approach towards ethnic and religious minorities. And all this doesn't suggest to me that he's anything like the new face of a multicultural Europe.
Bardella, aside from his age, which sets him apart, he also has Italian and Algerian roots?
I think he's got Italian ancestors and his family come from a settler background in Algeria. So in that respect, he very much represents what part of the constituency of the Rassemblement National is all about. People who are nostalgic about the loss of the French Empire and especially the loss of Algeria, which was seen as the jewel in the crown of the French Empire. And there's a lot of that resentment that still dominates the party and indeed its voters.
So back to the future with Jordan Bardella. Nabila, 2027, the French presidential elections. I mean, a lot can happen between then and now. One thing that we have been seeing in terms of the European Parliament elections and recent polling is that there has been a surprising rallying in support for the Socialist Party, who were long marginalised, having been pretty much decimated by the emergence of Emmanuel Macron and his party. What do you think is happening and what might it mean going forwards?
Well, I think as far as the left vote in France is concerned, at the moment it's divided. And if it wasn't, they could easily produce a president every 5 years. The left is doing moderately well in these elections because people realise that if you vote for an established party, like the Socialist Party, and one that actually has an experience of power, perhaps, you think of getting your vote behind the Socialist Party so they can return to power, either at the EU level or indeed domestically. So I think there's an inclination to see an established party returning to governance at the highest level in France.
Well, Nabila, thank you so much for talking to me. Nabila Ramdani, French journalist and author of the fantastic Fixing France, How to Repair a Broken Republic. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me.
The rise of the far right and the difficult task ahead for those wishing to stand in its way. Those then are our themes. Our first reporter named Lisa, to pick them up, is Lisa Bryant in the village of Suippes-sur-Loing.
There's no better place for local shopping than the Sunday market in Suippes-sur-Loing, about 100 kilometers south of Paris. The stalls around its 12th century church sell a mix of spring vegetables and summer clothes. It's also a good place to hand out flyers for the upcoming European Parliament elections, which a few National Rally members are doing this morning. Many shoppers accept them. A few, like Frédéric Mocris, stop to chat.
Something has to be done because people have a hard time making ends meet. Work, living conditions, lots of things need changing.
Mocris works at a school cafeteria. He's voted for the National Rally before.
I'm not ashamed to admit it, and I'll stick to my position.
Lots of French feel the same way. Polls show the National Rally capturing about a third of the vote in European Parliament elections, double the estimate for President Macron's ruling party. Under its leader, Marine Le Pen, the National Rally is a softer version of its once pugnacious anti-immigrant origins, shaped by her father and party founder, Jean-Marie Le Pen. It's focusing on bread-and-butter issues worrying French voters. There's no more talk about leaving the European Union, just changing it.
Europe is very important. Cooperation in Europe can save many, many nations.
That's Ivanka Esteban, one of the National Rally members for the Seine and Marne region that includes Suippes-sur-Loing.
But the actual structure of the governance is not aiming at the same things that we want. We want to have independence of each nation and cooperation between nations.
In other words, less power in Brussels and more in Paris, something many French agree with.
Que nous n'avons pas encore fini d'être français.
The National Rally has another powerful draw. 28-year-old Jordan Bardella, who heads the party's list for the EU Parliament elections. Thousands are packing pre-election rallies like this recent one in the southern French city of Perpignan.
Bardella is able, strong, willing, and he has no past record of belonging to an extreme fringe movement.
Far-right expert Jean-Yves Camus says Bardella has another asset, his age, rejuvenating the National Rally's brand.
So when you're 18, 20, and you live in some deprived city or in a rural area and you cannot make enemies, if you do not have a school education, and even when you have a school and a university education, you can bet on Bardella. And you can, more or less recognize yourself like in a mirror with him.
But Bardella's brand is not for everyone.
No, pas du tout. C'est mon opinion.
Suippes-sur-Loing resident Bernard Dupont doesn't like the National Rally. He was a child during World War II, he says. He knows about extremism and the National Rally. T-shirt seller Ndongo Mbaye, who was born in Senegal, isn't a fan either of the party or its leader, Le Pen.
She has nothing else to say except about immigration. And she says things that we cannot accept. I have children who were born here.
The EU Parliament elections may be a bellwether of popular sentiment, but analyst Camus says that doesn't necessarily translate when it comes to other votes. France's National Rally will likely come first in this upcoming poll, but he says it's still unlikely to win the presidential elections in 2027. Lisa Bryant, DW, Suippes-sur-Loing, France.
From Soupe-sur-Loire, we move to another village, Guéret, in the Creuse region of central France. Our reporter this time is Lisa Louis, who's been keen to find out more about a group of young socialists who believe that, despite the National Rally's formidable performance amongst rural voters, they can still turn things around. If not in time for the European elections, then at least in the political battles to come.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Pour le 9 juin, les élections européennes.
On this Saturday morning, young socialist Antoine Chavon is on the campaign trail at a farmers market in central Guéret. The 17-year-old aims to convince voters that his party, currently predicted to come third in the polls, is the right choice in the upcoming European elections. But as Antoine approaches a group of retirees, he realizes that many here are likely to cast a different vote.
Bonjour messieurs, excusez-moi de vous couper. Le 9 juin, c'est les élections européennes.
Il y a plein de personnes qui vont voter.
Two of them, called Jacques and André, complain about the widening gap between the rich and the poor and tell Antoine that they think far-right party National Rally is best suited to address their concerns. J'en ai du Maroc. And yet, Antoine is convinced he can make even voters like these change their mind by talking to them, for hours if necessary.
They don't realize the National Rally is still the same party with the same ideas. That's scary. The far right suggests apparent solutions that don't solve problems. We provide real solutions to people's problems.
Nevertheless, with the far right leading in the polls for the EU parliamentary elections in France, making his voice heard isn't easy for Antoine, especially in an area like this one. The number of inhabitants in the département of La Creuse in central France has been going down over the years, and the poverty rate here is above the national average.
Rural areas are where the National Rally has consistently been gaining ground since the early 2000s. 2 years ago, in the decisive runoff vote of France's last presidential elections, far-right candidate Marine Le Pen came first in 40% of the districts here in the département of La Creuse. That's despite the fact that her party doesn't have any deep roots here. None of the mayors in La Creuse are from the National Rally.
The National Rally has been trying to appeal to voters who feel left behind by mainstream parties. Gaëtan Dussausset is a spokesman for the party and number 29 on the list for the EU elections.
They know we are concerned about them. We want to increase their purchasing power, make them feel secure, dignified and proud again. We are present across the whole country, even in the most remote areas.
The far-right party knows this is music to the ears of voters in rural areas.
Benjamin Morel, I'm a lecturer in public law at Paris 2 Panthéon-Assas University in Paris.
Morel says the National Rally is taking advantage of the fact that voters in the countryside feel that traditional parties have turned their back to them.
Rural areas are in a double crisis. Economic activity is increasingly concentrated in the cities, and so people in the countryside feel abandoned and economically inferior. What's more, public services have been drastically reduced or are dysfunctional in these areas. People no longer believe the mainstream parties like the socialists when they say they'll provide public services for them, because these parties were the ones that cut these services.
He adds that winning back that trust will be tricky for the socialists, especially as that comes with a caveat.
Les partis de gauche sont des partis dont la base militante aujourd'hui.
Left-wing parties nowadays appeal mostly to people in cities who are fairly well off, young and educated. There's a huge gap between these voters and traditional left-wing voters in the countryside who are attached to public services, social welfare programs, and generally opposed to immigration. If left-wing parties try to win back the latter, they might lose the support of the former.
But Antoine Chavon has his eyes on a long-term goal.
On est sur le terrain. Moi, Jordan Bardella, je l'ai jamais vu en Creuse.
We are on the ground, and I haven't seen National Rally members campaign here in La Creuse. We're hoping to overtake the second place Renaissance Party so that we become the main opposition to the National Rally, especially looking ahead to the next presidential elections in 2027, in which President Macron can't run again.
Antoine has some reason to hope.
The socialists have been climbing in the polls and are now right on the heels of Macron's party for the EU elections. And yet, the National Rally is still predicted to get twice as many votes as the socialists.
Bon ben nickel, on y va.
Allez. Lisa Louis, DW Guéret.
That's it for our Focus on France special. A big merci to our guest Nabila Ramdani, our reporters Lisa Louis and Lisa Bryant, our editor Helen Sini, and our sound engineer Jan Winkelmann. This has been a bit of a departure for us, so do let us know what you thought of our special episode via our feedback address, insideeurope@dw.com. I'm Kate Laycock. This has been a special edition of Inside Europe from DW in Germany.